Thank you for being here. We are a small group, but as I say in ESL, smaller groups are easier to work with, and it's a little bit more cozy. So, as you know, we have people that are out. We have a good number of our guys up at camp, and we also the Flannerys are gone. There was a wedding last night, and the flowers are from the wedding. The wedding was wonderful, but we have been looking at the book of Romans, and as a church, we said that we would study the book of Romans, and so that is what we've been doing. Over the last 2 weeks, you heard Derek talk about chapter 1, and in your bulletins, you have a short outline. I want to talk about Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 16. And our memory verse for this week is Romans 2, verse 13. For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. And we're going to talk about that. But before doing so, let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer. Joe already prayed for our congregation and for our country. Let's pray for God's word, that it would be of good to us. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will continue here with us today. We thank you for the sacrifice of your Son that has made all of this possible. Lord, guide our learning and may the words spoken be words that lift you up and draw us closer to you. It is in your name that we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
So in you have a short outline in your bulletin. So let's go ahead and start. Now, the Constitution is the highest law in the nation. All the rules, all the laws, all the regulations in the country are to be in agreement with it, with the letter and or spirit of the Constitution. And in the same way, the book of Romans is the Constitution of the Christian's life. So if we start to understand the book of Romans, then we will also start to grasp the concepts of the writings of the apostles, the basic doctrines of salvation, and the relationships between Jews and Gentiles, and general principles of the Christian life. Now, I'm going to summarize Romans 1. Paul introduces Romans by explaining that he was appointed by God to make known the gospel of God, which is the message of Jesus Christ. Paul said that part of his work was to bring about obedience from among the non-Jewish people, because they too had been called to obey and to preach the gospel. Paul tells them that God promised the gospel through the prophets, and that it is the gospel that saves and reveals God's righteousness apart from the law. Now, in the same way that Jesus appealed to Genesis for some of his teachings, Paul also establishes his teaching in Romans chapter 1 by going to creation and stating that because mankind did not recognize God as the author of creation and didn't live in gratitude towards him, that because of this, people fell into idolatry and they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Now, in the past, people would worship idols that looked like animals or some type of animal-human hybrid or some mythological figure. Today, instead of worshiping animals, people worship at the altar of education and modernism, and they claim that we came from animals and that God did not create us. Because we did not glorify God and recognize with gratitude what he did in the beginning, according to Romans 1, God's wrath has been revealed by God giving over the mind of rebellious man to complete depravity and unnatural sexual debauchery, which we now see daily being paraded unashamedly before us. We see it in our work lives, we see it in public life, we see it in all media. Now, according to Romans 1, this debased state has become the normal condition of the human race. And this behavior is the evidence that God's judgment has already begun. The state of depravity is already part of the judgment of God upon all those who live with no regard towards Him. They live in complete opposition to God, even though they know what God's commandments are. With their depraved way of thinking, they call good bad, and they call bad good. And they approve of all those who do the same as they do. Now, Paul makes reference to the Jews because they are called by God to be His people according to His promise, and to be a witness to the world of God's goodness and love. But he also refers to non-Jews because he says that they all have had the opportunity to know God, but together they have chosen to reject Him and fabricated lies in substitution for the truth. Ungodly men may know God, but they do not know the gospel. And this is what they seek to suppress with their lies. Now that was the summary of chapter 1. In chapter 2, Paul explains that even though people know the requirements of God, but because of the depraved state that has resulted from rejecting God's truth, man is incapable of judging apart from God. When people establish a code or a system of laws, no matter how good it may be, apart from God, ultimately, it ends up exposing the hypocritical condition of humanity. Since all people are guilty of the same sins, any attempt to show mercy apart from God turns into favoritism, which is unjust and leads to even more depravity. But in this seemingly hopeless situation, God lovingly delays His final judgment so that He may first show His mercy with the hope that His kindness and tolerance will lead to repentance. So, principle number one, God's judgment is always preceded by His mercy. Always preceded by His mercy. Why? Because His desire is for repentance. God is just, we know that, but He is also love in its greatest expression. Now, still, people will continue to be stubborn and they will not repent. Principle number two, God will give to each person according to what they have done. In a more direct way of saying it, God gives everyone what they deserve. Now, I know this sounds a little funny. I'll explain it more. In 2A, under principle number two, the natural man will reject his mercy. The natural man will reject his mercy. And when God's wrath is finally applied in full, it will be shown to be just and righteous. Now, we have already stated that ungodly men seek to suppress the truth of God with lies, and that is why they reject His mercy, because to accept His mercy would mean to forsake their lies, and they will not do that. We see that every day. Now, on the other hand, Romans 2:7 states, "To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, He will give eternal life." Now, this is important because Paul is not teaching salvation by works and saying this. What he is teaching is that the evidence of salvation is a changed life until the end. That is to be. The evidence of salvation is a changed life until the very end. If your salvation is real, it will persist no matter what. But it doesn't just happen by you sitting on your confession of faith waiting for the rapture to come. We work out and show our salvation by doing the works that He ordained for us to do. This is what Scripture means by persistence. Come what may, we continue to follow Christ in thought, action, and deed, so that when he comes, we will all receive the reward. This is for all believing Jews and all non-believing Jews. They will receive the reward that Christ, we will receive the reward that Christ has for us. And to those who reject the love of God in Christ, whether Jew or non-Jew, they will receive the wrath of God because, to see, God is impartial in his judgment. He is impartial in his judgment, and he is also impartial when it comes to showing his good. It doesn't matter who you are. If we have put our trust in Christ, he will show us his good. Now, in the end, all who sin and do not know the law will be judged according to what they know, because God has written elements of the law in the human heart so that man is without excuse. Now, this idea of having the law in your heart refers to the human conscience, which is given by God in his mercy. Paul is not talking about salvation here, the way the Old Testament describes it in Jeremiah 31. And those who do know the law will not be able to shield themselves by saying that they read and study it. Remember, our memory verse states that for it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. So principle number three, obedience through love is the evidence of God's righteousness in your life. Obedience through love is the evidence of God's righteousness in our lives. And thus, God judges us by the righteousness of our faith in Christ demonstrated through obedience. And finally, principle number four, God will judge the world through Jesus Christ, because Christ is the fulfillment of the law, and he is the one who bore the full weight of the law in complete obedience to God the Father. Every heart where Christ is found will be deemed righteous by God and worthy to live with him in sweet fellowship for all eternity. And every heart where Christ does not dwell will continue to be condemned and bear the full wrath of God. Now, one day, all of the people who have existed, who exist now, and who will exist, will stand before the throne of God and will be divided into two groups, just like we are right now. One group to his right will be those who will have lived their lives with righteous hearts changed by God. And the other group to his left will be those who will have lived their lives clinging to their unrepentant hearts. The righteous will enjoy God and glorify Christ forever, but the other group will be banished from God's presence and endure his wrath forever. That's a somber thought. You know, the way we are right now is, I think, a very good illustration of that. Because there are many people that we know who will be on the other side, and we will never see them again. But God's judgment is actually about mercy, because God loves us, but not in the way that we love. We love based on attraction, and we primarily seek to benefit ourselves in a love relationship. We look for what the object of our affections will do for us, the pleasure that they provide for us, whether it be physical or some other form. But God loves based on himself. He loves us not because of who we are, but because of who he is. And in fidelity to himself and to his promise. He loved us first in our condition of sin, and in love he calls us to come out of that sin because he himself has paid the price to free us from the bondage of that sin. Now, the love that God has to offer to us is a love greater and higher than any other type of love. It is a love based on him and on what he has done to show us his love. Now, that's why it is the greatest of tragedies to reject this love. And this love without measure is personified in Jesus Christ. Now, one day the final judgment will come. But today is not that day yet. Today is a day of mercy and of loving kindness. Today is a day of judgment for good and not for wrath. Today is a day of being sprinkled with clean water and receiving from God a new heart of flesh in place of our heart of stone. Today is a day in which we can begin to live in obedience to Christ. We can choose life with him. So let him change your heart. Let him change your life forever. It all begins by recognizing Jesus as the Lord of all that we are and have and obeying him in all aspects of our lives and leaving behind the sin that until now has characterized us, repenting of it for the rest of our lives. This is the life of faith that comes from hearing the word of Christ. And this is the life that the book of Romans shows us. Let's pray that we have ears to hear and eyes to see this. Amen. So, I usually don't do this, so I don't know what to do now that I've finished. So Kelly, if you will help me.
So when we call the worship team up to...
Okay.